Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the show, episode 157. I'm in the Doghouse studio today with Winnie, Digby and Tia. And they're kind of snoozing. And, well, I've got a bit of a cold, so I'm going to sound a little bit growly, I think. A dozy. But I'll do my best in post-production to make this sound good. In the show today, Asana, a Danish advert, the creative process and Canva. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you'll know that I've mentioned Asana, the project management tool. It's something that we use at Moondog Marketing every day. In fact, sometimes I'm afraid of it when I open up Asana to see all the things on my to-do list. But it's also a great way of being able to assign other to-dos to folks out there. Anyway, last week we were working away in Slack and I saw a message from Zhanzhou and he'd put a screen grab from Asana that said, "Oh my God, what happened?" And later on in the day when I jumped in to see what I had to do, I realized that Asana had been completely redesigned. It had a new graphic profile that improved some of the menus. And I love it. A couple of days later, I love it. It's really, really nice and clear. Now, that reminded me to remind you, if you're in a small team, to go check it out. I don't think it's really appropriate for you if you are a solo entrepreneur. But if you're working with a team, whether it's you as a solo with outsourcers, or if you're working with your clients on projects, it can be good to bring them in and use Asana to assign tasks. But it's really, really good for teams, scales to big organizations too. And let me give you an example of how we use it. Everything in Asana is a project. Every action in the job that you do is a project. So for example, we've just been commissioned a whole bunch of print media adverts. I can't hear who's snoring, but someone's snoring here. I think the gate on my mic preamp will cut some of that out, but I'll do my best. Where was I? Yes, we've just been assigned to do a whole bunch of print and web banners for a client. Now, each of those banners or adverts is a project, and every aspect of the production of that work is an incremental step in that project. So here's an example. One of the specific adverts we've been asked to do has been for a client who's advertising in China. They're going over to appear at an event there and they want to raise awareness to their visit. And so we've been asked to make an advert for that. So the project is deliver a advert for the China campaign. So I break that. I create my project in Asana, deliver the advert for the China campaign. And I break that project down into incremental steps. So step one would be discuss with the client. And I assign that to myself and I assign a completion date. Step two would be to ensure that the copy and the photos are available, whether it's us creating it or getting it from the client. And there will be a responsibility set to myself in this case. Also to check the info from the printer. Do they need 3mm or 5mm bleeds? Do they want a PDF? Do they want a TIFF file? What sort of information? I assign it to myself again and the specific date. I assign to Zhanzhou the date in which the first design should be available. I assign to myself to actually send it to the client for review. I then assign Zhanzhou the date to have completed the changes. And of course, when we send things to clients, we also say we need it back by this date. It's contingent, the delivery and completion of the project is contingent on us getting it by this date. So I assign the time to Zhanzhou when he has to make any changes, the date for delivery to the client for final proofing. And as I'm taking care of that, it's assigned to me. Then for the print review, We review to make sure they haven't made any errors before we send it off. That's subscribed to someone else on the team, to say Jen or Sebastian and Ranjo again. And then the date to send to the printer. And then when every step of that project has been completed and clicked off, ticked off along the way, the project is archived. If I'm managing that project, and you should have gathered that there were lots of things that I was involved in there, I can check that Ranjo is doing those things on time. I can see exactly what he's done and what he hasn't done. If he's done it and not ticked it off as completed, I can just say, did you actually manage to do that? Have you completed it? Can you mark it as read? And this is how, when you're working on multiple projects in the work that you do, that you make sure that you deliver on time and that your project managers can track where you're going, that you yourself can check all your to-dos. One of the things I've got to do after I've done this podcast is go jump into Asana and check what other things I need to work through today. Unless I go and crash as I'm feeling, I almost feel like just lying down there with the woofs and tuning out. But never mind. So, Asana. If you haven't tried it and you're working with a team, do check it out. No affiliates, no association with ourselves. We just find it really, really works. We used to use Basecamp and we love Asana. We moved over to Asana about a year and a half ago and love it. It can be a bit overwhelming when you see everything that's there if you're a very, very busy person, but it ensures that you deliver on time and make your deadlines. It's got very nice Android, iPhone apps that are available. It has some great, a really good plugin, an extension in Chrome. I use the Chrome browser or the Opera browser quite a lot. And it's got an extension there, the Asana extension, which enables you to bang, add something else to Asana. Typically, if I'm sitting there with a client, laptop, typing away, doing notes, blah, 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 and they keep saying, oh, well, this needs to be done, and then we've got to have this, and we want this as well. And instead of putting it into my notebooks, I try and keep adding the tasks of things that I've got to do to sort that using the Asana extension, because I'm often writing things in a Google Doc simultaneously, and the extension enables me to keep putting things into Asana so then I can go back into it and organize all the tasks into umbrella projects, the main project, and the incremental steps to make sure things are done. Definitely recommend it. Check it out. Next up, a Danish advert for a travel company. The reason that I bring this up is creativity, thinking outside the box. It doesn't matter if you're a solo entrepreneur or a huge corporation. With your content, with the marketing that you do, whether it's content marketing or more traditional advertising, interruptive newspaper adverts, banners, videos, advert, TV adverts, no matter what, that the creative aspect of this, you know, you really need to stand out. That can be done through humor or shock or intrigue. You know the standard approaches. You probably just haven't thought through them structurally. You know, you're setting out to, okay, we need to make this, in this case, video. Let's use humor. And I definitely think you should check this out. It got quite a bit of news last week. And it's by a company, a travel company called Spiesreise in Denmark. And I don't know if you know this, but in Denmark, in Scandinavia, we have a shrinking population. In Denmark, there's not as many children being born as there used to be. And it would be really nice, the Danes are saying, to have more Danes. I used to live in Copenhagen, loved it there. Absolutely fabulous place. And so Spiesreise have a campaign to encourage people to purchase holidays, you know, package holidays. And the thinking behind it was to tie what's going on with, you know, in society, this lack of children, with getting people to buy their holidays. And thinking outside the box, what they did was they used the tagline, do it for Denmark, do it for mom. And the whole advert revolves around the whole idea that if you're you want to be a grandmother, if you want to be a nan, then the thing to do is to buy a package holiday for your child and their partner, because when you go away on hot vacations, it's more likely that they'll have sex and there's a chance that they'll have children. It's a really, really good advert. It uses humor. I think the lateral thinking tying in this whole idea of what's happening in society with the marketing. And that made me think, what are you doing? What are we doing in our businesses to stand out? I often talk in terms of content marketing about content marketing, about answering problems, about people going online to search for information, and by answering those problems, you can start the sales funnel. You can get people to find out about you through SEO or what you're saying in social, move into your website, maybe follow you in these social things, maybe download a white paper, an ebook to really connect with you, and then to deliver again other great content to push them further, to build trust, to lead to the purchase. Typically in the B2B process, it might be also in the B2C to then use remarketing, re-advertising, that when they click around the web, that they see adverts for X, Y, and your product on sites X, Y, and Z, mobile, browser, etc., etc. One of the best ways, I think, to promote creativity is to find space in your thinking to sit down and be creative. Get some coffee, get some Wienerbrød, Danish pastries if you're in Denmark. Sit down and have some fun. Get some energy up. Maybe go for a walk. Maybe have a creative walking meeting and knock some ideas around. We were recently pitching for a project with a Danish startup, as it happens. And they didn't end up going with us in the end. They went with a really, really, really big agency, Danish agency, who had an office in the States. And that was their target market, was to raise funds for the next stage over in the States. And we sat there in the cubbyhole on Kungsholmen, and we worked through things. We worked through some ideas in our office downtown, in Villa's office, where Villa sits. And it was really fun to knock ideas backwards and forwards. As a business owner, a professional marketer, it's really great to go along and pitch on projects, because you can see the client, the prospective client, learns things as they present what they're doing, and they sort of get on the spot feedback in terms of strategy, in terms of critique, analysis. We came up with some really good taglines, and I came up with a really phenomenal tagline that I offered as a freebie for them. Of course, you've got to offer freebies sometimes to win the project, and they loved it. And then they were like, okay, are you sure? Everybody agrees you gave it as a freebie. Never mind, we didn't get the project. C'est la vie. But that whole creative process, find the space in your business, whether it's with your own team internally, whether it's bringing other people in, to think about what you could really do to be creative in your content. Could it be that you do something fun on your podcast? Could it be that you make a really, really standout advert or YouTube video, something like that, that will go viral? The reason that I found out about Spiesreise's video was because I saw it on Facebook, posted by some of my friends. I saw it in the Guardian newspaper. I saw it mentioned in some blogs that I read. I'll put a link to the video. Yes, it's in Danish. You get to try a bit of Danish. It's a fabulous language. I love it. Sure, I speak Swedish, but I also speak Danish, having lived in Denmark. It took me a year of listening to Danish to change my Norwegian, because that's my first Scandinavian language, long story. I love listening to Danish. I think it's the world's sexiest language. And as a tip for you, the Danish word for love, kærlighed, says it all as far as I'm concerned. So there you are. I'll put a link to the video in the show notes, and it's got subtitles so you can follow along. And finally, Canva. Canva.com, a great online app, web app, to create images for your marketing. I'm using it a lot. We do quite a bit of campaigns for people on Twitter, and I love the way that you can use images to stand out in Twitter and Facebook, of course. Instagram, Pinterest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I've talked before, I think it was podcast 153, moondogmarketing.com/153. I talked there about the value of artwork for photographs in your marketing, in your online marketing. And Canva is one of the tools that I use the most to bring visuals into the marketing I do. I know Villa's a huge fan of it. Sebastian's working on a campaign for ResearchPool, researchpool.com. And he's been using images through Canva too. We use it for other clients. It's great. You go along, you say, I want to create an image for Twitter. You're given an initial template. You can color it and add text. You can make it a very, very simple notice. You can upload your logo or a custom image that you've got. Add a bit of text, sort it nicely, export it and update it. And Bob's your uncle, or your Bobette's your auntie, and away you can go. It's great. They monetize by offering you cooler, nicer images for, I think it's a dollar. I've been using it for ages and I have never bought anything. no, well, why not? Because I take lots of photographs, got lots of artwork that I use myself, or I get Shonjo to make things, and we use it that way. The one thing I think you have to be careful, and I thought about this on Friday when I was doing something for a client, their graphic manual says that their online font is Georgia. That is a serif font. You see it on lots of websites. It was super popular before. Don't see it as much now, but it's a really nice web front font. Works nicely everywhere digitally, but it's not part of Canva. I couldn't find Georgia as part of anything, and I could find an approximation. So one thing you might want to think about is having a universal web font like Open Sans, one of the Google fonts maybe, something that you could use in your online marketing that is always the same everywhere. This is about branding, of course, having a standard color, having a standard logo, having a standard font. But Canva, a free resource, canva.com, link in the show notes over at moondogmarketing.com/157. He said in his deepest voice with the cold, I feel like I should be doing nighttime radio. And I realized that I may be talking slightly faster than usual because of the lack of oxygen, because of the congestion in my nose, perhaps. So, canva.com, do check it out. It's free. Make sure you've got a standardized web font for consistent branding, definitely. And if you haven't got a graphic manual for your business that you know exactly what should be used graphically across all platforms, you should have one. Even if you make it yourself or you get an agency to help you with it, graphic manuals for consistent branding are super, super good and nice and very effective. Before I wrap things up and play the outro music, two things. One, check out a new podcast, Seeing Around Corners, by Lisa Gansky. Lisa is the author of The Mesh, she's a really interesting thinker in the disrupting space. New ways of doing business, new ways of thinking, new ways of creating and working with products. She's an innovator, an instigator, a disruptor. She's a very, very interesting thinker. I've been involved in the launch of a podcast production of a podcast that she's putting out over at instigating.co, which is the website, and it's /radio, I think. Instigating.co, link in the show notes. Anyway, definitely do check out Lisa's podcast that started last week. She is talking to a whole bunch of people about business, about product development, disrupting, doing new things. And as she says, she has this pathological curiosity. Great phrase. I once heard the phrase pathological optimism. But in Lisa's case, pathological curiosity. And the show is Seeing Around Corners, having conversations with people, discovering new things. And I think if you listen to this show and you're interested in new kinds of business, this is a way of expanding your interest in what's happening in the digital space, because this is so much about digital as well. And the other thing is, if you have any questions or comments, do get in touch. You can just go along to moondogmarketing.com/contact, or catch up with me on Twitter at John Buskell, or send me an invite on LinkedIn. I'm John Buskell, on LinkedIn. I'm trialing the pro version of LinkedIn and I'm seeing some very interesting results. This is after recommending it to a client and seeing good results there and another client's exploring it. I've wanted to do more things with myself. So if you are not connected on LinkedIn, do connect with me, link in the show notes. And if you do enjoy the show, please tell everyone that you know about it. Share links to everywhere, etc., etc. You know the deal. And from here in the Doghouse studio in Stockholm on a sunny Monday afternoon, it's great. We've been in France for a bit and that was fabulous. So warm. The darkness is coming in Sweden. I've got my brightest light on here. But we're enjoying ourselves in the Doghouse studio today. Winnie, Digby and Tia back with me while I was in France. They stayed on the farm and boy, it's always hard to bring them back because they love being on the farm. But that's something else. I'll be back with another episode very soon.
Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
As always, recorded in the Doghouse studio. For more, visit moondogmarketing.com.